And there's more. So the Buddha goes on and says, the tides of conceiving cannot sweep over a person who stands on those four foundations. And I must say, it's when I first read this sutta, it was that one. I did read it through and think, oh, this would be good for talking about six element practice. But when I got to this bit, it really had an impact on me. That tides of conceiving can't sweep over you if you stand on those four foundations, or even perhaps if you aspire to stand in them, that helps. And then the Buddha says, what is a conceiving? I am is a conceiving. I am this is a conceiving. I shall be, however. I shall not be. I shall be possessed of this, that, whatever, or I shall not be. Those are conceivings. Conceiving is a disease, a tumour, a dart. By overcoming all conceivings, one does not die, is not born, is not shaken, and is not agitated. And that's the end of the actual Buddha's teaching. He says to Pukkasati, bear in mind, Pukkasati, this brief exposition of the elements. So that was that bit that really kind of spoke to me, a bit about not being agitated. And that there are other places where the monks ask the Buddha. There's one in particular, a monk asked the Buddha, is it possible to be agitated by something that doesn't exist? Obviously thinking that's daft, it couldn't be. And the Buddha says, yes, it's definitely possible to be agitated by things that are non-existent. And he says, well, for example, you think, alas, I had that. Alas, it no longer is. Alas, it no longer is. Alas, I would so like to have it. Alas, I do not get it. So there's a whole set of them ways in which that's the kind of thing we do, isn't it? We get agitated about things that are non-existent, in even simple ways like that. Never mind the depth of view of self that is embedded in us. That getting rid of that view of self is the basic groundwork of what we're trying to do in practicing the Dharma. But on a much more superficial level than that, we just get caught up in things. Alas, I had it. Alas, it's gone, or he's gone, or she's gone, and I really want something. Alas, I do not get it. And then even worse, alas, they've got it. So at this point in the story, Pukkasati recognises the Buddha. First thing is, he apologises for addressing him as friend. Very disrespectful. Second thing, Pukkasati asks for full admission into the order. So he must have just been a novice monk. He's had the first ordination in that way of doing it. So he asks the Buddha, would you give me the second half of this ordination? So the Buddha says, yeah. But then the Buddha realized that Pukkasati doesn't have the proper robes and bowl. And so he goes out to get them. He goes out to get them. And while he's away to do that, he's killed. And in the story it says he's killed by a stray cow with a calf. He's killed by a stray cow protecting her calf. Gets too near and he's killed by it. There are other stories when you come, that must be a bit of a danger spot. You don't think of cows doing that in this country, so it must be a bit different in India. Anyway, he's killed, and he never gets the ordination. And other monks come back and tell the Buddha what's happened. They realise that he comes back, and they're lamenting, and the Buddha tells them not to lament, and he describes Pukkasati as wise. He said he was wise. He practiced in accordance with my teaching. He gave me no trouble. He gave me no trouble, didn't ask vexatious questions, gave me no trouble in interpreting the Dharma. But don't be concerned about him. He had broken the five lower fetters, so he had become an automaton, if you know about that system. So he wasn't quite, Pukkasati was not at that point quite fully enlightened, but he'd certainly attained insight and more than that. He'd gone a long way just in that night, actually. That night and then in the morning when the Buddha was teaching him. So that's the story in the Pali Canon. And